From the land to Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 20th day of May, 2026. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Greg Johnson. He's at TGM, that's Total Grain Marketing, right here in Champaign County, Illinois, in Logan County, Illinois, last night. The board there took up a moratorium, potentially, on data centers over the next 90 days. There was some changes to that. You'll hear about those and how it voted. And then we'll turn our attention to gas and oil and diesel fuel and the Strait of Hormuz. We'll do that with Patrick DeHaan. He is the lead analyst at Gas Buddy, gasbuddy.com. And as we close out our time together, we'll talk with Drew Lerner today, too, from World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City about this lengthy spring that we've had and roller coaster ride as it's related to temperatures, all on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Medium. It is public radio for the farming world, online, on demand at WILLAG.org.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
July corn for the day finished 9.5 cents lower at $4.65¾ cents. The September at $4.72½, down 9. And December at $4.89¼, 8.5 cents lower. July soybeans 9¾ cents lower. Settlement price at $11.99¾ a bushel. The November at $11.93½ for the new crop, down 9.5 cents. Bean meal futures $1.40 lower. The bean oil 78 cents lower for the day. Wheat futures soft red in the harvest month July at $6.60½, down 6¾ cents. In the hard red July at $6.98¾, finished a nickel lower on the afternoon. Live cattle futures $1.95 lower at $245.30 per 100 pounds. Feeder cattle up $2.12½ at $365.77½. And lean hogs $101.97½, down 17½. Crude oil in the WTI, down $5.89 at $98.26. The crude oil in the Brent at $104.98 a barrel, down $6.26. And gasoline for the wholesale price, 19½ cents lower. It finished at $3.37¾ at the CME Group. Greg Johnson now joins us from TGM, that's TotalGrainMarketing.com, on this Wednesday to take a look at what happened in Chicago for the day. Hi, Greg. Thanks for being with us. We've had a couple of good days and then have fallen off the last 2 days in the marketplace. Tell me what you think's been happening there.
I think we saw an initial positive reaction to the news from the Trump G visit. Friday, we were disappointed, but then Sunday, they released the fact sheet that said they were going to buy more products. Could be soybeans, may not be soybeans, but at least it sounds like the trade believes that at least 25 million metric tons will get bought, whether that's calendar year or crop year. I guess that's still to be decided or up in the air, undetermined, but still, that's demand from China that a month ago we weren't sure we were going to have. So I think the market responded positively to that news on Sunday. We had big gains on Monday, got back up to the contract highs. December corn got up close to 505. The November beans got over $12, and those, quite frankly, are good places to sell if you're going to have a crop. Those are the highest prices we've seen in a while, and farmers did a pretty good job, I would say, of rewarding the market and selling into that. And now the last couple of days, we've seen some profit taking going on, aided by the fact that crude oil has really sold off. I think today is, every other day it's a different rumor, but today the rumor is that we're closer to an agreement ending the war in the Middle East. Now, tomorrow could be completely different, but oil is down $5 a barrel today, and that's pressuring corn, wheat, and soybeans today. So the initial news over the weekend was positive. Now with everything else being factored in, we're probably looking a little negative. The weather is wet this week, and some people want rain as they're done planning. But next week looks like there will be a window, and that should allow us to get most of the rest of the crop planted next week. probably a little later than what most people would hope for, but still, it's still May. So if we get the crop in the ground in May, I still think we've got a good chance to have something close to an average crop.
If you were to look into a normal growing season, how would you expect prices to play out over the month of June, July, and August?
I think we still would have one more rally, one more potential weather scare as we get close to pollination. Once we get it planted, the market has a tendency to sell off a little bit, and then we start talking about pollination weather and pod filling weather. And of course, with all the talk about the El Nino, the super El Nino, I think that might keep the funds on the long side. And so that might give farmers another chance to sell corn and beans at something over $5 on the board and over $12 on the beans. But keep in mind, we also have an acreage report on June 30th. And if those acres shift at all, that would move the market as well. So we've got the acreage report on June 30th. We've got the funds long, and then we've got the pollination and seed fill weather for the soybeans to come up in July and August. So those are the things that are kind of keeping the market on edge at this point.
It was the acreage that I was going to ask you about next. Do you have any indication, any feeling, given the longer duration of the planting season, at least the planters being in the field in early April and now in the second half of May, unlike some years where it all happens within a month's time frame? Has that changed acreage that producers would have thought they were going to put in the ground very much, or does it more likely leave it as it was?
Well, the last couple of years, we've actually increased the corn acres from the March report to the June report. But this time, that March report came in a little bit higher than what the traders were looking for. So the weather certainly has not cooperated as far as thinking that we're going to have even more corn acres. There's a lot of corn that has yet to be planted. There's some corn that's been planted the first time that got flooded out and will have to be replanted. So I guess with the higher input costs, soybeans still look like the better opportunity. I guess I'm thinking that we will see more bean acres, maybe up to 1 million more bean acres when that June 30th report comes out, and maybe anywhere from 500,000 to 1 million less acres of corn than what we saw in the March report.
Interesting. So if you put that into context then with what you think is coming out of Brazil for corn and or soybeans, and soybeans by shipping now, how should producers play out that in their mind as well? Because there will be a lot of grain on the marketplace.
Exactly. I think you have to look at it short term and long term. Short term, and if you've got old crop corn or beans left, you have to think of it in a short term time frame. You probably want to take advantage. These prices still aren't bad. Considering, if you're going to hold on longer term, I think you will see higher prices for corn, but you may have to wait until July or August. So short term, these are good prices. I wouldn't talk anybody out of selling old crop corn or beans at these prices. But if you're taking a longer term view, which most farmers can do that for the new crop, doesn't matter whether you sell it in May, June, July, or August, you want to get the highest price you can. And I think the odds are, the possibility is that we'll revisit those contract highs and maybe even make new contract highs in corn. It may take that June 30th acreage report and some pollination weather, and maybe some business out of China. At some point in time, China, if they're going to honor these agreements, they will start buying some commodities from us. I don't expect them to buy soybeans from us right away. I think, they'll probably wait for a lull in the market, which might be right before harvest. They can buy all the beans they need to for the time being out of Brazil and Argentina. So they probably won't buy bean from us until August, September. So I think we could see beans go lower into the fall before China shows up to buy those beans. But corn, I think with less acres, higher input costs, inflation, the funds being long, possibly China buying corn, which we wouldn't even have thought about 3 or 4 months ago, I think all those things give us a pretty good chance that we'll see a revisit of the old highs and maybe even making new highs in corn.
Hey, thanks much. We'll talk with you again next week.
All right. Thanks, Todd.
Mm-hmm. Greg Johnson is with TGM. That's TotalGrainMarketing.com. Just one news item for the day. The Logan County Board last night met to further discuss a proposed data center near Latham outside of Decatur. It had expected to vote on a second 90-day moratorium for this calendar year, but instead was presented with an amended motion to impose a 12-month freeze on consideration. And to the delight of the county residents in attendance, mostly, the motion passed.
Motion passes 6-3.
For its part, the company hoping to build the data center, Hut 8 out of Miami, Florida, says it respects the board's authority and the local process by which the decision was reached, and that it is grateful to the officials, residents, landowners, and partners who engaged with them throughout the process. Hut 8 says in a written response that it is assessing the implications for the proposed project and will determine the appropriate path forward in the coming weeks. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. We're now joined by Patrick DeHaan. He is with GasBuddy, an analyst there. Hi, thanks for being with us, Patrick. You have been following, of course, the closure of the Strait of Hormuz and the impact it has had on the price of crude oil, gasoline across the United States, other products like diesel fuel and jet fuel as well. What are your biggest concerns at this point related to the marketplace?
Well, everything. The Strait of Hormuz is all-encompassing. It's blocking millions of barrels of oil on a daily basis, having vast impacts on other products like base motor oils. Of course, the price of diesel, jet fuel, and gasoline are all spiking. Americans are very reliant on various forms of oil for energy, and so it's having a vast impact across the board, from gas prices to diesel to jet fuel to the price Americans pay when they go to the grocery store, and far beyond that. Just a vast impact that really just can't be understated, given how this situation has now continued for 80 days.
On that note, because I deal with farmers in the agricultural industry, I'm wondering if you have some thoughts about how long it might take the price of crude to come back down to pre-war levels.
Well, you know, fully pre-war levels may take a very long period of time, as global oil inventories and specifically U.S. strategic reserves, as well as Japanese and other strategic reserves, become depleted. There is still a finite amount of capacity to bring those inventories back to normal levels. And that is what could take the better part of, I estimate, as many as 80 weeks. For every day that the strait remains closed, it may take roughly a week to catch up. And so for global oil inventories to completely return to their pre-war level, you know, we're talking about getting into mid and late 2027 until everything fully recovers from this. So that's a long way off. Though there would be price relief rather immediately, it's still going to take a long, long period of time for that garden hose to refill an Olympic-sized swimming pool with oil.
One of the other things that I've seen you posting to your X account about is oil for engines. Is that going to be an issue at some point in time, do you think?
Well, you know, it depends. There's a lot of different types of motor oils. As one would know, if you go to an auto parts store, there's just myriad different options. And some of those types of oils, especially those that are manufacturer specific, that have additives, that have certain weights for different manufacturers, those ultra lightweight, you know, 0W5, 0W8, 0W20. Some of these types of oils that are less common may start to see some availability disruptions. Prices probably are likely the first thing to react. But some of these base oils that form the motor oils that many Americans use actually come in a significant way from areas of the Middle East where there are special motor oils and lubricants factories that also have been impacted negatively by the blockade of the Strait of Hormuz. And we're starting to see the ripple effects now. Various manufacturers, including Nissan and Toyota, have informed their dealers that because of the reduction in supply of their specific types of oils, that they are allowing their dealers to utilize other weights of oils that are more readily available. And we probably will see more of that. Some of the specific lubricant facilities in the Middle East, in Qatar specifically, a lot of these lubricants in some way are going to be impacted. And of course, that impacts the broader supply chain as well. So your next oil change is likely to be more expensive. In addition, you know, at worst, your manufacturer may have to allow for a temporary substitution of the oil that, that your vehicle uses. But, you know, you're still going to be able to find motor oil. It just is likely to be impacted by the price, of course, because of what's happened with the Strait of Hormuz.
Patrick, thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
That's Patrick DeHaan. He is with GasBuddy. You can find them at GasBuddy.com or download the GasBuddy app to your phone. Let's take a look now at what's been happening in the world of agricultural weather across the planet. Drew Lerner is here. He's with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Let's get started, Drew. Start in the hard red winter wheat growing regions. Did they pick up rainfall out of these larger events? And if so, is the crop, in your opinion, in a space where it might be able to garner some help from it?
You know, it's amazing how many times we've had opportunity for meaningful rain and missed it or gotten only a portion of what was advertised. And that was pretty much the case. I think most of the high plains have just not had enough well-organized precipitation where everybody was impacted over these past couple of weeks, and it's still very dry. And on top of that, of course, we are seeing some really wild temperature swings. We had more frost and freezes this week in Colorado and parts of Nebraska. Northwest Kansas, I think, got down to about 40. They actually may have got down to 39 this past week. But anyway, a lot of bouncing around. But the bottom line is, no, this wheat crop really hasn't had an opportunity to change very much. I'm sure that there was benefit that came from the precipitation when it was occurring, and certainly the cooler days have helped to conserve moisture, but we've also had heat. As you know, last weekend, temperatures from the Texas Panhandle to central Kansas were at 95 to 106 degrees. It only lasted for about 2 or 3 days, but you know, when you're already running on the low side of the moisture profile, that doesn't help. And with crops already kind of limping along, it certainly was a stressful period. And of course, we followed that up with the cold weather these past couple of days. So in the longer run, I don't see a tremendous amount of change. There will be some more showers scattering across the region. But once again, I think we're going to end up coming up short on the moisture for a good part of that drier area.
Speaking of cooler weather, we've been on a spring roller coaster for a long time now. Really warm days, much cooler days than normal, I would think. Here we are on May 20th. What are your expectations going into next week for the Corn Belt?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of folks that are a bit frustrated over the coolness, and certainly the crops are not happy. They all would like to see warmer weather, and that is coming. We are going to see next week a ridge of high pressure evolve. It'll pass from the Midwest into the plains. So for a period of time, everybody will be under the influence of this ridge. It will shut down all this rain that we've got occurring in the Mid-South region and the lower Midwest, but that is a week away. Once we start bringing that ridge in, though, it will heat up. We do have a lot of moisture in the soil, so it's going to be one of those humid, warm spells. So it's going to be a bit uncomfortable across the region. But the bottom line is degree day accumulations will improve greatly starting about a week from now and going on out into the first week of June. It should be a really good time period for more aggressive field work and an opportunity to firm the soil in those areas that ended up with too much moisture here over the next several days.
Any inkling from your perspective of what the month of June might look like for the Corn Belt?
I think the month is going to be pretty well mixed. You mentioned the roller coaster ride on the temperatures. I do think that when we get into the latter part of June, there will be some more cool air around. Nothing like we have out there today, but we'll get away from the warm and humid environment that we expect in the first half of June and see some chillier temperatures. And in the process of moving from the warm back to the cold, we will see another period of enhanced rainfall. So I think the month of June will end up being favorably mixed, maybe not ideally, but I think we'll have some warmth. We'll have some coolness, and we're definitely going to get some more rain. So it should be okay. I just would like to see the temperatures kind of stabilize a little bit and stay in a seasonably warm range for more than a couple of weeks. That would certainly help the crop stimulate a better growth rate.
On the enhanced rainfall, producers in the Canadian prairies, I think, would like some of that. Is that in the offing?
Yeah, the southwest part of the prairies is still quite dry, while the northeast is too wet, and there's just all kinds of grumbling going on across the prairies, and I can't blame them. For the northeast, this all started with a very deep snowpack they had at the end of April. It all melted at once in early May, and it's been raining off and on since. In fact, they had some snow not too long ago. On top of all that. So it's just too wet. And just like here in the States, it's too cool up there too. And so the field work is way behind in that northeastern one third of the prairies. In the southwest, it is pretty dry. They are seeing at least a little bit of shower activity once in a while. And the temperatures are not quite as cold there, but still coolish. And so they are making some progress. But most of the prairies are behind where they ought to be. And there's now some forecasters out there suggesting that it's been too long that they've been working behind the norm, and there's talk now that maybe they're going to lose a little yield potential. The summer's not even started yet, so there's still plenty of time for change up that way, but a definite improvement of weather is needed. The forecast over this next 10-day period looks like it will be warmer, but it's also going to continue to be wet in that northeast, and so there's going to be some additional delay, I'm afraid, for those folks.
In South America, the dry season has arrived, or should have arrived. Has it taken hold in Brazil?
Yeah, it depends on where you are, but, southern Safrinha corn country, we thought they were going to have a really good crop year because they got a little extra rain when the rain season ended after being kind of dry before that time period. Well, a little bit of one of those situations where you have a little bit too much of the good stuff. In the last 2 weeks, southern Mato Grosso do Sul, southwestern São Paulo, and northwestern Paraná have had between 4 and 8 inches. I think there's one location that's had 9 inches of rain. And this is the dry season, and that is crazy amounts of rain. We went back and did a little study looking at aggressively developing El Nino years like this, and strangely enough, it was wetter than normal every one of the months from the beginning, or actually the latter part of our spring season all the way into their spring season. So from May all the way into October, every month was wetter biased in most of those years. We looked at 4 different years, so it's kind of interesting. We'll see what happens. But from that study, you've got to come to the conclusion it might stay wetter biased for a while.
All right. Hey, thanks much. We'll catch up with you again next week.
You betcha. Have a good one.
You too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City and joined us on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report that comes to you from Illinois Public Medium. It is public radio for the farming world, online on demand at WILLAG.org. That's WILLAG.org. You have a good afternoon. I'm Yovi Extension's Todd Gleason.